Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you.
Well, good morning, everybody. You can make your way back to your seat. And if you'll remain standing for just a moment, we're going to read some scripture here. But for those of you who are new, my name is Eric, and I'm one of the pastors here. I'm excited to be speaking this morning. And we are currently in a series called Wrapped for Christmas, The Swaddled Gift. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, we read about the birth of Jesus. We read about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. And in the King James Version, it says that he will be found wrapped in swaddling clothes. And so far throughout this series, we've talked about how we are wrapped in strength. That's how Pastor Brad kicked us off. And he said this, "I find strength when I let God wrap me in his strength." And last week, Pastor Brad talked about how we are wrapped in comfort. He said this, "When life shakes you, Christ wraps you in his comfort." And I would encourage you, if you've missed any week so far of this series, check out the podcast. It's just been so good and so helpful, and I know it'll encourage you. Well, if you have a copy of the scriptures, open it to the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. If you don't have a Bible, I'd encourage you to download YouVersion. You can find that in any digital store on your device. We also have a reading plan that we're going through together during this season, an Advent reading plan. We have individual plans. We have family plans. A really special moment throughout this season just to come together and read through that together. You can find all of that information at corechurch.com. Well, today we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 42. We're going to start at verse 6. When you think of Isaiah, what we need to understand is that Isaiah was a prophet. A prophet was someone who delivered messages from God to the people. And this specific message that we're reading about here in 42, starting at verse 6, it is one of the prophecies telling of the coming of Messiah that we know is Jesus. And starting at verse 6, it says this, "I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people Israel as a symbol of my covenant with them, and you will be a light to guide the nations." And then verse 7, "You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons." Today, we're going to talk about how Jesus wraps us in his grace. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be here, and just thank you for just the blessing of being able to open the word together. And I pray that as we look at this story and as we just apply it to our life, that we are encouraged and of just how good it is to see this message, this prophecy fulfilled. And we pray that just as we look at this word and what I say, I want to say only what you want me to say. Nothing more and nothing less. And ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Well, in less than 2 weeks, public service announcement, in less than 2 weeks, we will be gathering for Christmas. So for some of you, that just sends a little bit of a panic and shiver down your spine, but you've still got time to get something, to get it wrapped, and to get it under the tree. I remember when I was a kid, I loved seeing the presents show up under the tree, and I would love to figure out which ones were mine. And what I didn't love so much is trying to guess what they were. Some of you, you live for guessing games in general. Like, aside from Christmas, guessing is wonderful. You just live for it. It's an adventure. It's a thrill. I hate it. And I didn't always, amen, yeah, thank you, my people. And I didn't used to always be this way. For me, it started Christmas 1995. I was 10 years old. And the, okay, yeah, some of you can't believe that. But yes, I was 10 years old in the Christmas of 1995. And that year, the original, the OG Sony PlayStation came out. And from the moment it came out, it was the first and only thing on my Christmas wish list. Like, what do you want for Christmas? Sony PlayStation. Well, what's possibly something else that you like for Christmas? Sony PlayStation. Talk to another family member. What's something I could get you that only I could get you that you would really enjoy? A Sony PlayStation. Like, that's it. That was all that was on there. We're over at my grandma and grandpa's house, Christmas morning. I'm looking at the presents under the tree. I see one with my name on it, and I pick it up, and I give it that little shake, and it's got the sound and the feel and the weight of a Sony PlayStation. And we're going around in a circle. It's my time to open. I jump up. I get the present. I bring it over. I sit down. I start unwrapping it, and I hear these infamous words from my grandpa. He looks at me. He's kind of rubbing his hands together like this. He's like, guess what I got you for Christmas? And I lost my mind. Normally, you try to keep your cool, but in that moment, I lost my mind. I started screaming. I was like, a Sony PlayStation! And I ripped open the box, and there's 18 pairs of Bugle Boy socks. Which, for those of you that didn't grow up in the 90s, Bugle Boy was a great brand. Those were great socks, but they were not a Sony PlayStation. But let me tell you, they sure last. I've got a pair on this morning that I've worn since then. No. But they were great, but they were not a Sony PlayStation. When my grandpa asked me that question, guess what I got you for Christmas? I answered it looking at that going, heartache. Heartache is what you got me for Christmas. Pain, disappointment, socks. I mean, come on. Guessing games are hard. And I wonder if we treat God like a guessing game. I think at times a lot of us do. We guess who God is. We guess what God is like. We guess if God really loves us. And we might believe his grace is for other people, but we have a hard time believing that it's for us, and so we guess if his grace is for us or not. We guess, will he do this? Will he do that? The doubt, the unbelief, the lack of trust, or maybe what it really is that we think, I don't trust that God is who he says he is. And for some of us, the picture that we have in our minds of who God is that he's distant. He's angry. He's mostly just full of wrath. And for some of us, when we think about what God thinks of us, maybe we think he's disappointed. We don't know if he loves us. We don't know if he cares. We don't know if he's kind. So we guess. And this is the great lie of the enemy that he has been telling from the very beginning. When we see in the opening story in Genesis, in the garden, Adam and Eve, the enemy comes to them and he says, did God really say? And he gets them to question. He gets them to doubt. He gets them to guess. And the problem with guessing is this. You can build an entire story in your head and be completely wrong. The beginning, the middle, the end, we've written it, it's finished, and nothing about it is true. And if you guess that God is mostly angry, you're not going to run to him, you're going to run away from him. If you guess that he's mostly distant, Then what do? You don't talk to him. You just assume that you're on your own. And if you guess that he's mostly disappointed in you, then you live your life trying to earn back something that you're not even sure you had in the first place. And if that's who we guess that God is, of course we are going to keep our distance from him. But what if we don't have to live like that? What if we don't have to guess? What if we don't have to play these guessing games of who God is and what God thinks about us and whether or not he loves us? Because I don't think any of us would say that we want to live the rest of our lives just guessing about God. So who is God really? What is God like? Let's look back at the scripture. Isaiah 42, and look at the first part there of verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called you, you there is Jesus. I, the Lord, have called you, Jesus, to demonstrate my righteousness. And here's what I want you to write down. Jesus came to wrap me in God's grace. Jesus came to wrap me in God's grace. If you're new, there are sermon notes in the seat back pocket in front of you. I encourage you to write that down. Jesus came to wrap me in God's grace. So in this scripture, God is talking about Jesus. He's letting us know who's coming, and he's letting us know what he's going to be like. I, the Lord, have called you, Jesus, to demonstrate what I will be like, to demonstrate my righteousness. He's saying that Jesus is coming, and he's going to show you. He's going to demonstrate. He's going to take away all of the guessing. That word demonstrate, it means to give a practical explanation of. To show, not just tell. I remember the very first time that I mowed the yard. I felt like I'd arrived. It's just kind of one of those moments in your childhood when you just feel like you just own the world. I get to mow the yard. It's a really big deal. But here's what my dad did not do. My dad didn't just shout from upstairs, Eric Bryce, mow the yard. Figure it out. You got this. My dad didn't do that. My dad doesn't even sound like that. But that's not what my dad, my dad said none of those things. No, he came out with me and he showed me how to fill the gas tank. He showed me how to get it started. And he mowed the first line while I walked beside him. And then I mowed my first line while he walked beside me. And as I think about it, that's probably where my love for, like, I love lines in the carpet. I just love seeing it. It's just the visual of that this place is clean and it is ready for you. But then the yard, I mean, when the yard has those lines in it, I mean, it's just the best. And so I'm mowing my first line and he's walking beside me so that I didn't have to guess to figure out what this was going to look like. He demonstrated to me how to do this. And thank God he did, because for those of you that don't know, I am not the most mechanically gifted person when it comes to figuring out things like that. And if he hadn't have demonstrated it to me, if he hadn't have shown me, I'd still be probably standing in that yard wearing my Bugle Boy socks trying to get that lawnmower started. So what God is saying here is that I'm sending Jesus to demonstrate my righteousness. And what does righteousness mean? It means to be made right. And in this context, it means to be in right standing with God. And here's what I want you to write this down. Because of Jesus, things are right between me and God. Because of Jesus, things are right between me and God. Not sort of okay. Not, well, I think you've done enough, so I guess we'll gift you this righteousness. No, because of Jesus, things are right between me and God. And praise God for that, because on our own, left to ourselves, we are not right with God. We're sinners, we fall short, we drift, we wander off. On our own, we're hooped. I mean, there's just that, that's it. But because of Jesus, things are right between me and God. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, because of Jesus, you are right with God. We need to hear that. We need to be encouraged by that. And we need to be reminded that God doesn't shout down from heaven, Eric Bryce, figure it out. You got this. Oh, thank God that that's not what God does. No, he sent Jesus to demonstrate, to show, to give an explanation of his righteousness. And so Jesus comes and he walks beside us. How amazing is that? Just get a picture of that. So throughout this season, whatever you are experiencing, whatever you have brought in with you this morning, Jesus is walking beside you. And he shows us what a life fully surrendered to God looks like. Every thought, every action, every word lined up with the Father's heart. Just like those lines in the yard, just like the lines in the carpet were lined up with the Father's heart. But Jesus doesn't just demonstrate God's righteousness. On the cross, he gives it. Jesus takes our sin, he dies in our place, and he wraps us in his grace. Jesus came to wrap me in God's grace. Will you say that with me? Jesus came to wrap me in God's grace. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them, you are wrapped in God's grace. One of my favorite things about this time of year is just in my Christmas PJs and get a Christmas blanket and I sit on our Christmas couch and I just, no, we don't have a Christmas couch, but ooh, I just love being just wrapped in that. Let's look back at the scripture. Look at the second part of verse 6. It says this, and I will give you, Jesus, to my people Israel as a symbol of my covenant with them, and you, Jesus, will be a light to guide the nations. Write this down. Jesus is God's covenant of grace. Jesus is God's covenant of grace. And the word covenant, it can feel like a kind of a big churchy word, but what it means is it's a deep committed relationship. It's a binding promise that says, I'm with you, I'm for you, no matter what, I'm not walking away. Jesus is God's covenant of grace. A binding promise. My wife and I, we've been married for 18 and a half years. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You gotta say the half. The half matters, even with birthdays. Like, how old are you? I'm 40 and a half. I just love saying that. Or I would say, I'm almost 41. Even if my birthday was yesterday, I would say, I'm almost the next year. Because, you know, when you're 12 or 13, just the little bit of grace that you can get yourself just a little bit forward in age to make people take you seriously, I mean, that little bit matters. You can use that. Write that down. That's good. But my wife and I, we've been married for 18 and a half years. And when we got married, we didn't just sign papers. We didn't just sign the marriage license. We didn't just sign our names on a slip of paper and filed paperwork. No, we made a covenant before God that on good days, on bad days, the best of me, the worst of me, I'm with you, I'm for you. No matter what, I'm not walking away. That was covenant language that my wife and I spoke to one another. And what we see all throughout scripture is that God has been making covenant promises. He's been using covenant language. The Bible, as we know it, the Old Testament and the New Testament, maybe you didn't notice, but the Old Testament, that means old covenant. And New Testament means new covenant. So the Old Testament tells the story of that old covenant. The old covenant given to Moses, the law, the Ten Commandments, the sacrificial system, the people of Israel trying and failing and trying and failing to keep the law because nobody could keep it perfectly. And God knows this. God knew this. That's why we have the New Testament, the new covenant, the story of what Jesus did. The story of who Jesus is, what he did that we could never do. So when God says, I will give you, Jesus, to my people as a symbol of my covenant. He's pointing to Jesus and he's saying, I'm not giving you more rules, I'm giving you my son. And he is going to walk beside you. He is going to guide you. He is going to direct you. He is going to show you the way to live. Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. It's not like old is bad and new is good. No, Jesus came and fulfilled the law that we could never keep. He lived the perfect life that, spoiler alert, none of us could ever live. And he died in our place. The death that we deserved. And because of that, Jesus is God's covenant of grace. And so when we say that, What that means to each and every one of us is that Jesus is saying, I'm with you. Jesus is saying, I'm for you. Jesus is saying, I'm not walking away. Take that in for just a moment. Jesus is saying, I'm with you. I'm for you. Just let that truth wash over you. I don't know about you, but I get overwhelmed with that. Because it's not something that I deserve. It's not something that I've earned. When I was a kid, there would be these things that my mom would keep track of for timing on a road trip. And there were these bags. And if there was good behavior, and if we passed a certain amount of time on the road trip, she would open that bag because we had deserved it. We had earned it. And I remember one time, still don't know what was in the bag, but we did not deserve it. And boy, boy, we did not earn it. I never knew what was in that bag. This isn't something that you can deserve. This isn't something that you can earn. No good amount of behavior means that God's going to be like, you know what? Now you get my grace. Because you've arrived, because you've proved yourself, no. It is freely given to us. Jesus is God's covenant of grace. Turn to somebody and tell them, Jesus is God's covenant of grace. Let's look back at the scripture. Look at verse 7. You will open the eyes of the blind. You, Jesus, will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. Write this down. Because of Jesus, I'm free. Because of Jesus, I'm free. There's a story in the Gospel of John where Jesus is teaching at the temple. And as he's teaching, some religious leaders, they bring a woman in and they place her in front of everybody. They've caught her in adultery and they throw her in front of the crowd and they bring their cause to Jesus and they say, the law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? And by the law, I mean, she's guilty. By the law, what she has done, she deserves judgment. And Jesus doesn't argue that she's innocent. He simply says, the one without sin, may they cast the first stone. And slowly people disperse, and it's just Jesus and this woman. And Jesus says to her, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? And she says, no. And Jesus responds by saying, neither do I. Now go and sin no more. The law says that she's guilty, but Jesus shows her grace and compels her to go and sin no more, to repent, to turn away from that sin. And because of that encounter, she experienced freedom. And that same freedom is available to each and every one of us today. Because of Jesus, I'm free. So whatever you came in here with this morning, can you just leave it here? Can you just leave it? Can you just let go and experience that freedom that is available to you? It's not something that you deserve. The law is going to say one thing, but freedom is available to you today. And it's not like I'm saying that laws are bad. because laws are good. I'm thankful for the laws that we have in our state, that we have in our country. Sometimes when they don't work in my favor, I get frustrated at that. I was driving home from Core Youth a couple years ago, one Wednesday night, and right as I got over the overpass, I see those blue and red lights in my rearview mirror. And I take just a moment and I'm like, well, I mean, I don't think I was swerving. I'm not past curfew. I felt like that was like a trigger moment for me, like from being in high school and being out past curfew, not just with my parents, but just the city curfew. You know, that's like a double sin. But grace was offered. It's fine. I'm forgiven. I moved on. But so I get pulled over and I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. And some police officers, I mean, they are just up and out of their car and right by your door. And some, they let you sit and they let you wait and they let you just stew in that moment. And I felt like, should I open my door and get out? But everything in me told me, don't do that. Just stay in your car. Woo! So I did. And then I see the police officer walk up next to the car, and I roll down my window, and the first thing he says to me was like, he goes, can you guess why I pulled you over? I was like, guess? Do you know me in guessing games? Jesus got rid of the guessing. There's no more guessing. I didn't say that. I wanted to say that, but I didn't say that. But what I said was, sir, I am sorry, but I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I don't know if I was swerving or if I've got a brake light out or something like that, but I mean, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic here. I absolutely have no idea. And he goes, well, sticker on your tag's expired. Now, I might not be mechanically gifted when it comes to most things, but I can tell you this. I can put a sticker on a license plate like you have never seen. And I'm usually very, very good, some might say obsessive, about making sure that all of those are always up to date. Like, I can't think of a time in my driving life where I've missed it like that. And not just missed it, he says that it has been expired for over 7 months. Some of you, I see some of you, you're like, you're shaking your head, you're my people, because you've had that happen. And for those of you that don't know, every day that goes by past the expiration date, there's a charge until you just eventually max out. And so you gotta pay that penalty, and then you gotta pay the registration for the sticker on top of the paying for the penalty. Woo, it's expensive. I'm saying that from experience. It's not like I'm just saying figuratively. I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I can't believe that. And he goes, well, the law says that I can have your vehicle towed, impounded, and I can fine you up to $1,000. The law says, but Jesus says that I am free. And he said, tell me about this person, Jesus. And I said, well, let me get my YouVersion Bible app open. I walked him down the Romans road, prayed for his salvation in that moment. None of that happened. None of that's true. I said, look, you do what you got to do, man. I mean, 7 months, that's, I get it. Yeah, you're right. You do what you got to do. So he goes back to his car and he sits again and just waits. And I'm like, so as I'm waiting, I'm just going in my head. I'm like, I'm going to walk this road in the dark by myself and I'm going to have to knock on my own door and be like, well, guess what happened this morning? Where's the car? Oh, funny story. All of this is running around in my head. And he comes up along the side and he goes, I tell you what. If you promise to go to the tag agency the first thing in the morning, I will let you go, and I will not hold this against you. Woo! Like, just the feeling of relief. Not just because I got out of a ticket, but because that wasn't going to be held against me. Guess who was the first person at the tag agency that morning? Don't guess. Me. It was me. No more guessing games. It was this guy. I tell you what, grace, it's not something that we deserve. I didn't deserve that grace in that moment. But it's a grace that's available to each and every one of us. The law was good. The law was right. The law said, you're in the wrong. There is a consequence. There is a cost that needs to be paid. And the law pointed out my guilt. But grace let me go free. And this is what Jesus does for us. The law simply says and shows that each one of us are guilty. Every one of us. The law says that we're guilty, but the cross shows us that we're forgiven. Because of Jesus, I am free. Can we say that together? Because of Jesus, I am free. I'll close with this. Isaiah 61, verse 10 says this. He has dressed me with the clothing of a salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. By our own, on our own, what we can muster up as far as righteousness, our best efforts, I mean, it's like a pile of filthy rags. I've got a pile of filthy rags that I use for all kinds of things and nothing special, nothing important. And I do not use it on somebody else, whether it's cleaning or wiping hands or, I mean, they're filthy rags. It's just, that's our best effort. It's just a pile of filthy rags. But we don't show up to God with a clean record. We are the filthy rags. We show up with our sin. We show up with our shame, with our failure, with our regret. And maybe we expect God to back away from us. To stand to the side, to stand off, to walk away. But instead, God steps towards us with a robe in his hands. Based off of nothing that we have done, but on who he is. And he doesn't stand there and say, hey, while I'm here, before I wrap you in this, I need you to clean yourself up. And then if it meets my standards, then I'll wrap this around you. We have standards when it comes to things being clean. I get that. I love my bed being made in the morning. I love my counter being cleaned. And if one of my kids does it and I look at it and I'm like, nope, do it again. God doesn't do that with us. Because when we come to him, we come with all of our mess. And he says, I'm going to wrap you in this robe of righteousness. While we're still a mess, while we're still standing in our sin and our shame, we're not worthy to wear it, but he wraps us in it anyways. That's what it means to be wrapped in God's grace. We come as we are, whatever that means. And he wraps us in his grace. Jesus came to wrap me in God's grace. Because of Jesus, I'm free. I am right with God. And some of us, we've been guessing what God is like our whole lives. I mean, it's a roll of the dice. It's a flip of the coin based on the situation or the season. But if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. He shows us. He came to demonstrate what God is like. Everything about Jesus reflects the Father. Everything. And if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus on the cross. He will sacrifice his son for you. And if you want to know what God thinks about you, because maybe that idea of just he's disappointed is still rolling around in your head. But if you want to know what he thinks about you, he wraps you in his grace. He wraps you with that robe of righteousness. So stop guessing. If you're already following Jesus, let this be a reminder to you that you're not holding yourself up. You are wrapped in grace. And if you've been guessing what God is like up to this point, may you just recognize that grace, salvation, righteousness, forgiveness are available to you. Jesus came to open your eyes. Jesus came to set you free. Jesus came to walk you out of darkness and into the light. Jesus came to wrap you in his grace.
We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.